Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desitarane Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Before we begin, did you hear those thundering sounds outside during the kirtan? You hear them? This is Giriraj's blessing upon us. Because you can hear that sound, and if it's mild and it's distant, but it's a thundering sound. Imagine if that sound was amplified to a massive, almost deafening sound. Thunder, lightning, flashing through the sky, crossing, and everyone, rain pouring down, darkness, nowhere, not knowing where you were going, what you were doing. And the only help and shelter was Krishna himself. And everybody is turning to him with the thunder in the background. So in Vrindavan we have to keep our senses very alive, because Krishna will give us little hints of his presence if we're looking for them. So now we have a special sound effect just to help us with our reading. By performing the Govardhan Puja, the cowherd men had acted purely on the instructions of Krishna. Indra's violent anger towards them was the result. But Krishna had wanted to provoke his anger. So when the fierce storm began, Krishna reflected, "Foolish Indra. He believes that he can destroy Vraj. And I am the only resort for these cowherd people. And I treasure them as my very life. By giving them full protection, I shall destroy Indra's pride." Confirmed. With this in mind, Krishna lifted Giriraj and called everyone near. Balaram had brought them together, and Krishna spoke to them convincingly. "Oh Baba," he said, "do not fear. Oh Maya, don't be troubled. Oh Sakas, be happy. Enter under this wonderful umbrella. Since Giriraj ate all our offerings, it is not difficult for him to remain suspended in the sky. Do not think that I am exerting myself. Look how light he is. Even a child like me can easily pick him up. Giriraj is completely independent, and he moves according to his own sweet will. And now he is sitting on my hand like a piece of cotton. Therefore, collect all your property and come under the hill. There is no difference between the village of Vrindavan and the valley below Govardhan. Come, be happy, and stay here peacefully." Krishna said, "When I lifted the hill, Huge trunks of earth fell to the ground, and they easily created a boundary wall, a natural boundary around the perimeter. This will keep out the torrential rains. So forget about your pleasure gardens and forget about your attachment to your residences. Let this place become the source of joyful pastimes for you and the cows. Then Krishna pointed to a hole, and they saw there was this hole. And they saw that they could enter easily into this place by a ladder. There was a ladder going down. The walls of the place under the hill were studded with sparkling jewels, and they glistened brightly. They saw that the floor, the ground, was embedded with beautiful jewels as well, touchstones. And this wonderful place under the hill was divided into many, many rooms. And the rain continued and the thunder continued. There was fresh water available under there, and gentle breezes, gentle soft breezes, and a fragrant and pleasing atmosphere. In this interior under the hill, Krishna stood. He stood smiling, and he remained casually holding the mountain on his left hand. Then, taking their wealth and their children and their wives and their daughters and their cows and the brahmanas, all of them feeling immeasurable happiness, they entered into the splendid valley that was under Govardhan Hill. There were fields in all directions of beautiful, rich, green barley. And there were lakes with clear crystal water, full of pure water to drink. This divine place beneath Giriraj could accommodate their innumerable cows, their animals, and their family members, all under the hill. The cows remain near the borders of this improvised town, and they pastured on the fresh green grasses that were there happily. While outside, there were fierce rainstorms with raging winds and massive hailstorms coming down, hailstones and deafening thunder and lightning flashes. Inside, there was no rain, no danger, and no fear. Instead, there were sweet voices, attractive songs, and Krishna, whose beauty was the only focus of everyone. By continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and the sweetness of Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan felt no hunger, no thirst, no fatigue. And Krishna, seeing their happiness, also forgot about eating, drinking, or sleeping. Giriraj had become like a huge house, and in every direction, as far as you could see, there were beautiful pavilions and pleasure gardens and reservoirs of water and orchards of fruit and flowers. And it was absolutely divinely beautiful underneath Giriraj. But everyone simply was looking at Krishna. In all directions, everyone was standing, and in the center was Krishna himself, like a sapphire pillar. During the festival of lifting Govardhan Hill, everybody who was there tasted the greatest ecstasy. The Vrajavasis stood around in groups, different groups, peacefully. Nanda Baba and Balaram stood slightly in front of Krishna, and Yasoda and Rohini stood on both sides, and they massaged his legs, and they took his hand, the extra hand, his right hand, and they stroked his hand, and they caressed his hand, and Yasoda would rub his arm constantly, petting him to make sure that somehow or other he didn't feel any strain. Krishna's intimate friends like Batu stood nearby, and the elderly married gopis stayed at some distance with their daughters, whilst Radhika and the other gopis, the other married gopis, gathered right beside them. Now, Krishna was surrounded by all his loving associates everywhere. He was surrounded with all his loving associates. And this is what he had desired. Being together under the hill, the fierce rain falling from the roaring clouds sounded as insignificant as water that was being poured from the mouth of large pots. And the most extraordinary thing happened. Although the people of Braj were spread out in every direction, some were near and others were very far away. Some were far, far, far away. Some were behind Krishna. Some were to the left. Some were to the right. All the Vrajavasis could see Krishna clearly, and they gazed to their heart's content at his charming lotus face, and every one of them clearly recognized that Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, was looking directly at them. Taking advantage of this intimate setting, the beautiful young gopis like Radhika and her friends were able to look at Krishna openly. Normally they had to cover their heads. They had to only look to the side to see Krishna. But now everyone was looking directly at him, and they too could look at him openly with love and blissful smiles while praying for his victory. They gazed at him and they took him deeply into their hearts. And within their hearts, they embraced him to their heart's content. For them, the harsh rain was as sweet as nectar. Nonetheless, Radhika criticized Providence, saying, "Oh, Providence, you are so pathetic. You have no intelligence. Therefore, the only time I get to gaze at my beloved without any interruption is when he must hold a heavy mountain on his tender hand." Then Batu, who was always very funny, he spoke up and he said, "Oh, dear friend, listen to my words. They will fill you with happiness. Why are you troubling yourself so much to lift this hill? Just order me. By my Brahminical power and my mantras, I will hold up this insignificant mountain on the tip of my golden stick. You must be exhausted. So take some rest and I will hold up the hill." Then Yasoda said, "Oh, my Lala, you always act impudently due to your uncontrolled senses. For years we have been peacefully observing the Indra Yajna, but you abruptly stopped it. Disregarding the demigods is never good. It never brings auspiciousness. Oh, oh, how can your hand, which is as soft as fresh butter, bear the weight of this mountain without any help or support? Oh Giriraj, kindly become soft and light so that my Kaneya will not feel any strain." Batu said, "Maya, why do you think that Krishna is in any difficulty? Just look at his dazzling sweetness. Had Indra not become angry, we would not have a chance like this to relish his sweetness with our own eyes." Mother Yasoda replied, "Oh, bold one, do you think that holding a heavy load is a show of sweetness? Look at Krishna's forehead. There are drops of perspiration. His face is pale and dry. How can a mother's heart tolerate seeing this?" Krishna said, "Maya, this is so much fun. Giriraj, he's just floating on his own in the sky." Yasoda replied, "My son, I will believe what you say if Giriraj gives up your company and flies around on his own." Batu said, "Oh, Queen of Vrindavan, don't worry. This great big mountain is sitting on the hand of Krishna by my strength and my mantras. Yasoda said, "Impudent one, what nonsense are you speaking? I am burning in anxiety over my son's tendency to act independently, and you are making jokes and you are laughing about this?" Then Nanda Maharaj, he interjected and he said, "Rajarani, why are you scolding Batu? An expert diplomat always uses affectionate words in trying situations. So Batu is not at fault." Then somebody else says, "Look at Krishna. Look, look. While holding Giriraj in one hand, he holds his flute in the other and he's pressing it to his lips gently, and he plays soft, gentle, sweet tunes." Batu said with alarm, "Oh, friend, friend, don't play your flute now. Don't play your flute now. How will you protect us if Giriraj becomes ecstatic and turns into water? Then you will be the cause of our devastation. Oh, it will fall from your hand." And the other voice said, "Batu, Batu, there is no need of such fear. A person with great patience may sometimes thrill a little with ecstasy, but they quickly recover their composure. So just relish the nectar of Krishna's flute song and give up your restlessness." The Vrajavasis began to consider. Right before their eyes, they could see the ocean of inundation. They could see the clouds that were causing the inundation. They also could see the difficulties that this inundation was creating. But they also saw the deliverer from this inundation. So although they were in a very dangerous position, they were not defeated. One gopi said, "Radhika, your face is supremely beautiful. Do not make your eyebrows dance, for this will severely agitate Giridhari's mind, and his arm will start shaking, and it will cause the mountain to fall off his hand." So Radhika, she covered her head with her veil and looked shyly at the ground. Then, unseen by others, she raised her veil and beamed a sweet, gentle smile at Krishna and bathed him in a shower of nectar. Krishna, seeing this wonderful, beautiful face and smile of Radhika, his hand began to tremble. And he was trembling and trembling. And all the gopas became very alarmed. They said, "He's tired, he's tired, quickly, quickly." And they raised their sticks up to hold up the hill. And Batu laughed at them. And he said, "What are you doing with your little puny sticks? This is a huge mountain and you've got a little stick. He said, "You're just scratching, Giriraj." So beneath Giriraj, there was singing and recitations and dancing by skillful performers. And the knowers of Vedic culture, they were offering charity. The Brahmanas were chanting Vedic mantras. It was a huge festival, almost a more wonderful festival than the Govardhan Puja going on under the care of Giriraj. The children were playing. Everyone was happy. What happiness did the lifter of the mountain not give to them? But outside the umbrella of Giriraj, huge clouds sent by furious Indra poured incessant rain and rain and rain, and hurricane winds were blowing. And yet, not even a single particle of dust was washed off the surface of Giriraj. The deers, the birds, the animals, and even the leaves of the trees on Giriraj outside remained totally unaffected by this devastating storm. Being brought from the ocean, as clouds are, being brought from the ocean by the clouds, the deluge that they were pouring down was assailing the earth, pouring down, and then running back again into the sea. The storm tried to show off its power, but it became totally exhausted from pouring profuse rain. And after 7 days of continuous rain, the Samvantaka clouds had failed to flood the district of Mathura simply because Krishna immediately dried up the water as it fell to the ground. Although he was being pulled down from his mountain of false pride and he was becoming defeated, shameless Indra retained his fighting spirit. He was unsure whether Vraj had already been completely destroyed, so he sent hundreds and hundreds of his wind devatas to go there and carry out his work. They all came back and they reported, "Nothing has happened." Convinced that strong rains will work, he sent the cloud devatas, who also came back and reported, "Nothing has happened." "O Lord," they said, "O Lord of the Devatas, we have seen a great wonder. Having consumed all your offerings, this hill has become so powerful that it is standing up, 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 very tall." Thinking this was very strange, Indra became a little depressed. Suddenly the lightning deity appeared in the sky, and he also delivered a similar report. "The mountain has expanded to eat all your offerings, and now it is floating in the sky." Indra said, "But where have the inhabitants gone?" And he ordered his devatas to go and see. The servants departed, and then they returned. They said, "O Indra Dev, the people of Braj have all been burnt to ashes by your lightning." Indra was so pleased. He was so happy. He said, "Long may you live. Long may you live. But just to be sure, check once more." They went again. But this time, they came back with a different story. They said, "O king of Devaloka, the people have not perished. On the contrary, under the hill, they now make loud sounds as if they're enjoying a festival. And Govardhan, whose body is made of heavy rocks, is resting on the finger of Balaram's younger brother, Krishna." Indra said angrily, "This arrogant mountain has taken the side of the people. He's protecting them from destruction. But when my flaming thunderbolt smashes him to pieces, they will all become crushed to powder." So he sent his thunderbolt and his messengers, and the messengers returned again and said, "O Master, we did not see even 2 or 3 leaves fallen to the ground. Not a single ant was troubled. If this is true on the mountain summit, then the people under the hill are far from suffering." Then furious Indra, he hurled his most powerful weapon. And when that failed to do anything, he thought in silence, "This must be Lord Vishnu, who has appeared in the form of Krishna and is holding up the mountain." At the very same moment that he was thinking like this, a very foolish yakshas are partial to Kamsa, a very foolish yaksha partial to Kamsa came and approached Lord Indra, and he bowed down to him and he said, "O great King Indradev, I am the son of Drumila, and I offer my full prostrated obeisances to you. King Kamsa is full of affection for you, and he sends this message." He says, "We are very pleased with the actions you have undertaken. It is intolerable to us to see the insignificant show disrespect to the great. There is no necessity of accepting sacrifices from these foolish cowherders. Instead, we will perform sacrifices to you." Hearing this, Indra became horrified. By the intoxication of pride, "I have destroyed my intelligence, and I have acted so badly, so badly, that those who I should be honoring as friends, I am treating like enemies. I attack like an enemy. And now, having done that, I am being offered friendship by my enemies. Because I was proud, I have been defeated. The Samvantaka cloud should be called back. Stop the storms immediately. Then with sorrow, his false pride destroyed, filled with doubt and remorse, Indra entered his celestial plane and he returned to his palace. Due to his offending the people of Braj, Indra found that his house was like a living hell. He was now completely unable to find any way to live with himself. Now Indra was going to suffer. He was going to suffer acutely for what he had chosen to do. And the Vraj residents, they were safe and happy. So tomorrow night, we will hear the final section of this beautiful Leela, and we will hear what Indra did to save his own heart and his own conscience after he had behaved so abominably. Indra couldn't find any peace after this had happened. In fact, he was seriously considering committing suicide. So please come tomorrow night and we'll hear how Krishna dealt with very ashamed and fallen Indradev. Thank you. Hare Krishna.